Welcome, everybody, to the Resistance Broadcast. I'm John. Thank you for joining us on TRB Live or on your favorite podcast app, however you prefer to take in TRB. We thank you very much. Welcome to the base. We got a good show today. We're dusting off One with the Force to kick things off from a segment perspective. We're also going to take your questions later. So if you have Star Wars questions you want to toss our way and have us discuss them, pop them in the chat using hashtag Ask the Resistance so we know that you want those used on the show. Or if you'd like to light speed to the front of the aisle, we have super chats available to have your comment read immediately. Or if it's a question, it'll take front of the line and ask the resistance. But more importantly, thanks for being with us here in the base. Make sure you are subscribed to the show and your preferred podcast app. And of course, our YouTube channel, which is now going by youtube.com/@TRBpodcasts. Same channel, new name. Here we are. Hi, Lacey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Lacey, let's remind everybody what's going down on May 6th for the first time ever.
Yeah, so for people just checking in with us now, it's been a wild couple of weeks, but heading into after Star Wars Day, the following Monday, we're kicking off our new podcast, Nerdy and Nice, which is a pop culture specific podcast. So it encompasses all the things that we love to geek out about, movies, TV, etc. It'll be kicking off that Monday. And we're really excited on YouTube and on audio platforms. Those channels are not live yet. So if people are looking for it on like, oh, why isn't it showing up on Spotify? Those aren't going to pop up until the episodes are uploaded. But you can follow us on social channels at Nerdy and Nice Pod. Please do.
Yes. And on that first show, I'm just going to a little quick little sneak peek. I got the Ghostbusters popcorn trap thing. I'm going to do a little like not unboxing, but a quick like, let's take a look at this thing. But Lacey, for Star Wars, my son Johnny wrote a book right before we went on live. So do you mind if I just go through it real quick?
I'm excited because I got the behind the scenes of Johnny giving the book.
Dropping it off.
Yeah.
The first draft. Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Johnny's just starting to get into Star Wars. He and I are going to see The Phantom Menace on May the 4th after his T-ball game. It's going to be his first time ever going to the movies, too. So I told him, you got to sit down. It's going to be long. Yeah, you know. But he started writing his book. So here we go. It's called All About Star Wars.
Watch out, Clayton Sendell. He's coming for your job.
That's right. Actually, Clayton, how about you just hire my son to write a Star Wars book? All right. He said, Darth Vader used to be on the good side.
Oh.
And then you drew Darth, that's Darth Vader.
Is it used to U-S-T-O-O?
He wrote...
Did I see that?
He wrote like us two. All right.
Love that.
It's only a few pages. The Empire is bad.
Oh. Spoiler alert.
So what does that mean then? Darth Vader is in charge of the Empire. And he drew... a TIE fighter. Look at that.
That's actually pretty good.
Not I knew bad, that right?
Yeah.
For audio listeners, you could reckon. I'm sure you'd be able to recognize it's a TIE fighter. The good guys sometimes use the Force. Use Y-O-O-S.
Sam times.
And then there's the Jedi using the hand. See the hand? He's waving his hand.
Oh my God, I love that. That should go on a t-shirt, that Darth Vader.
Look at that. And then on the back, he just did, look at that, the aesthetic for marketing, the crossed lightsabers on the back.
There you go.
All About Star Wars, Lucasfilm, please don't sue us. He's five, and he loves you. So they're like, look, it's hard times. Pay up, kid. Send over the piggy bank.
please
all right.
Don't sue us.
So that's what I got to start things off here. How about you, Lacey? Because you were hiding something off camera. Oh,
John doesn't like when I hide things from him. He gets like really upset about it. So,
well, especially we're live. I don't know what, you know, do you have a little in the delivery. House?
I got a little delivery. Spoiler alert, as I didn't want to spoil it before. I thought I would have a quick drink on camera.
You got it?
I did get it. Guess where I got it, John?
Stu Leonard's. Stu Leonard's. Do you know someone signed up to Patreon and the reason he told us was not I love how you guys talk about Star Wars. I love your community. He said he was laughing at the Stu Leonard's pizza guy bit that we were doing.
Stu Leonard, sponsor us. So I was at the store this weekend and they had a guy there being like, please get our blue milk. And they have this big like Star Wars Day sign. And I was like, I gotta get it.
They had a milk guy?
Yeah, they had a milk guy. Milk guy. So I'm going to crack it open and have a drink. Hopefully I don't throw up on camera.
Is it milk or is it like the coconut, whatever it is at Galaxy's Edge?
So it is inspired by Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Blue milk. Pour the power of protein. I don't know how I feel about that marketing.
That sounds perverse.
Pour the power of protein. Blue colored vanilla low fat milk with other natural flavors. And then it has a little scan thing that says scan for trivia. Mm-hmm. All right.
So this is straight from a. Is this actually squoz from the teat of a bantha?
I don't know. I don't know. How many calories is this before I dig into this thing? So this is per serving, one glass size. One cup is 150 calories, and it is 23 grams of sugar.
Oh.
Which is as much as a soda, if anybody's wondering. 23 grams is pretty much soda. 8 grams of protein, but still 23 grams of sugar. Ingredients, milk, sugar, guar gum, blue one, red 40, vitamin A, vitamin D, and water.
So it's milk.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Learn more at StarWarsCheck.com. I don't know what that is, but I just plugged it, whatever it was. And it has the Lucasfilm logo on the back. All right. So let's take a drink. So this is True Moose Blue Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Really?
It tastes like a milkshake. Like, you know, when the milkshake gets at the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Or like when your ice cream melts? That's what it tastes like.
So it's really thick. It's not. Is it like whole milk?
No, it's skim milk.
Oh, wow. Interesting. All right. Would you eat it with, would you have it with cereal or anything like that? Or
actually, dunk the piece in it? This probably would be good with cereal. Although, yeah, if you're having super sugary cereal, it might be too much.
You know what you do? Get the fork, get the double stuff, and start dunking.
You with the fork. I'll never forget that. I put the lovely boxes together for our Spice Runners when we went to London last year. Or was it? No, it wasn't London. It was
Anaheim.
California.
Yeah.
And I put in the box and I said to these guys that I was like, we got to put something in there that's personal to us. So I think I put pretzels in for me. And John was like, I want Oreos with a fork. So like I went to Target and bought forks and then like tied them on the Oreos with like a bow, like making it all nice. And people literally said like, I had no idea why the fork was in the box. And I explained it. And then they were like, oh.
Well, so if you want a full dunk and you don't want your fingers full of milk or you're like, who knows where your fingers, you're working all day, you're outside, you don't want like to gross up your milk. You put the fork, slide it in where the cream is, dunk away, and you got a nice, clean, full dunk. There you go.
Yeah, everyone's saying good stuff. Darth Snips, happy birthday, Darth Snips. She said coffee, add coffee. Good point. I'm going to do that tomorrow morning. It's probably going to look disgusting because it's blue and brown, but.
Happy birthday, Darth Snips.
Happy,
wonderful evening.
People are asking, like, what flavors does it have? Does it have any fruit flavors? It doesn't. It tastes like straight vanilla. Like, if you had a vanilla ice cream and it melted, like, the bottom of the bowl is what it tastes like. Or, like, a milkshake that's gotten too milky, not as much ice cream anymore. That's what it tastes like.
All right. Now, there's one other thing we have to get to here. We ran a poll today because we've learned that in probably to coincide with the whatever the footage of the Acolyte we're going to see, if you go see the Phantom Menace, there's going to be a special look at the Acolyte after or before. I forget what it is, but either way, I'm making Johnny stay to see it. You tweeted this that the CCXP Mexico
Comic-Con.
What Yeah, their Comic-Con is also probably giving a look at the Acolyte. And I assume it's going to be the same footage that there's going to be in the theaters, that extra Acolyte footage for Phantom Menace.
Oh, you don't think it's a trailer?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it'd be cool if it's a trailer. And maybe that's what it is with the Phantom Menace. Yeah, but needless to say, it inspired the poll because we do have the bet going on. And for people who don't remember, the bet is whether Yoda will show up on screen in the remaining Acolyte trailers. However many there are. So we ran a poll on our Twitter account today, and we said, will Yoda appear on screen in any remaining trailers for the Acolyte? And if yes, I have to deliver a pizza to Lacey, and if he's not, Lacey has to deliver a pizza to me. So we simply put, your choices are, yes, he will appear, Lacey gets a pizza, no, he won't appear, John gets a pizza. And the results, I kid you not, it only ran for a few hours, but we had 205 votes, so it's officially a scientific poll, so thank you. The winning vote is no, John gets a pizza, but I only won by 0.4. It was 50.2 to 49.8, so we may have to do a recount. We may have to take this thing to Georgia. There's a lot that might have to be done here. But needless to say, it's Gillerin, it's split. So we have half on team John, half
on team Lacey. Did you vote in it?
I voted, yeah. You didn't vote?
You might have been the one vote.
Wait.
You jerk.
So I can
do
the math.
For yourself?
Let's find out right now.
One vote. You voted for yourself.
Times 0.502, 103.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I think if you took my vote away, it would have been tied. See? Is that a lesson?
Geez.
Vote, folks.
Every vote matters. That is.
You never know. Lacey
can't
complain of the results of this poll. But anyway, yeah, very fun. We'll see what happens, and we'll see. Someone's getting a pizza, so either way, it's a good thing. But we got a show to get to here. Again, reminder, if you want questions on the show, hashtag ask the resistance in the chat and super chats if you want to cut the line or if you want your comment read directly on the show, like our first guy did here, Gary24Fan with a super chat coming in.
Go ahead, John.
And he said, by the way, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it, man. He said, hey, TRB family, sorry I won't be tuning in live tonight. I need to go watch the Patriots screw up the number three draft pick. We'll catch you on the replay. Look, I got the Giants going sixth. I think they need a quarterback. I don't know what's going on. They beat the Eagles in that worthless game at the end of the year, which pushed them from 5 to 6. It's a disaster. The Giants, they got a mess on their hands too. So I don't feel bad for you. I don't know how old you are, Gary, but the Patriots literally started winning in 2001 and they didn't stop until like a couple years ago. So I don't feel bad for you. But thank you, Gary.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady. all right. Here's the deal. It's time to dust off a pretty old school segment of ours, but it's a fun one. And because we're doing it live, we may see some answers in the chats to make it even more fun. So I'm going to hand it over to Lacey for One with the Force.
The Force is with me, and I'm one with the Force.
All right, guys. One with the Force. The segment where we dive deep into the galaxy far, far away. I'm laughing to myself because I wrote this out for the show and I know that John hasn't read it. By exploring intriguing scenarios and making tough choices. From the battlefields of iconic complex to interior struggles of beloved characters, John.
No, it's a struggle, all right.
Put our knowledge and passion to the test. Join us as we face the ultimate challenge to pick just one path in a universe filled with endless possibilities. One with the Force. All right. So basically how it works is we have a question with some choices and we have to pick one. Thus, one.
I love that you have this elegant intro that you like scripted out for yourself. Imagine if the first question was, would you rather have an Eopie blast a fart in your face or...
I'm trying to give some explanation because I feel like sometimes you know, I understand that people listen to the show all the time, which I'm so sorry. But I like to think that sometimes people need a little bit of a refresher of what the show is all about. So I wanted to express my thoughts on this awesome segment, One with the Force.
I also tell you something last night.
What?
that I did last night.
What did you do?
I'm crying laughing because just like the term like getting blasted by a fart is just so funny. I'm very immature and I'm well aware. So last night,
you say that a lot actually, blasted when describing farts. You always do.
So last night it was late. I was feeling nice. I was feeling a little toasty, feeling good. And I bid on old toys. I bid on
What is going on late at night? You just told a story on Patreon how you were like, I was feeling good the other night. So I decided
Sometimes you pop an edible, you get a little cozy, you get a little nice, turn on the TV, and away you go. Nothing scandalous. All good. So I was like looking on eBay, and I was looking at, I always look up these old toys I used to have that they've re-released that my mom got rid of when I got older. She gave them to cousins or whatever. So I was looking at this batch of Ghostbusters toys and 1989 Batman toys. And this is stuff we'll talk about on Nerdy and Nice also. Mm-hmm. But I like outbid these people, and now I'm the highest bidder. And now I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend this money on this stuff. So I'm hoping these people outbid me.
You can retract a bid.
I know, but I feel bad. I still have a couple days, so we'll see how it goes. I think I'm still going to get outbid. But anyway, late night.
The reason I was looking around, by the way, is not because I wasn't talking to you. It's because I have a original Slimer figure.
Oh,
that was my older sister's. Who's five years older than me, and Daisy was playing with it before, and it was right here. So I was looking because I was going to pick it up and show you on camera, but I don't know what she did with it.
He came with a pizza, I think, if that's the one I remember.
It's the green one that he's like, eh.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
I have that one. Right, I also have Stay Puft somewhere. I don't know where he is. He's somewhere too. All right, so back to One with the Force.
Yes.
The question is, in your opinion, what is the best Star Wars movie title from each saga trilogy? Prequel, original, sequel. John, we're starting with you.
Do we go like my prequel pick, your prequel pick, or do you want all three of mine?
Whatever you want, John, your choice.
I mean, I'll just run through it. I think The Phantom Menace is one of the coolest movie names ever from any movie. So I think that's the best title for the prequels. You can't beat The Empire Strikes Back with its pulpiness, and it's just fun to say. And then for the sequel trilogy, it's tough. But I think the mystery of wondering what it meant for The Force Awakens. Because, I mean, when I saw The Rise of Skywalker, I was excited, and I wondered what that meant. And I was like, are they going to resurrect somebody? Is Luke coming back? But with The Force Awakens, I was like, what does that mean exactly? And it's just still so surrounded by everything that was building up for that trilogy, so it's hard to top. So I'm going Phantom Menace, Empire Strikes Back, and then The Force Awakens.
Good choices. I'm going to choose Phantom Menace as well. Kicks off the series. There was a lot of intrigue of like, who is this menace? Oh, what does it mean? Plus, I just have such a fond feeling of that movie, despite what everybody says at the time and now as well. I know a lot of people have come around on it with the anniversary this year, which I appreciate. But at the time, I was still just as psyched because I was like, I think in sixth grade. And I was hyped that there was a Star Wars movie coming out. For the original trilogy, I'm going to go with Return of the Jedi. I have such a fond feeling for that movie too. I'm going with warm and fuzzies. Having Jedi in the title was such a cool moment for Star Wars, which is funny because I do not feel the same the second time it shows up. But in Return of the Jedi, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think it's just such an epic title that speaks true Star Wars by having Jedi there. And then in the sequel trilogy, to nobody's surprise, I'm going to pick The Force Awakens. It's a very mysterious, kind of secretive title, but at the same time evokes this feeling in you that you're like, oh man, the Force. I know exactly what they're talking about. Let's do this. Who's going to have the Force in this movie? Where is it going? What kind of destiny are we about to experience? So those are my picks, but we definitely want to know yours in the comments.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean like you could hate the movie and just be like, best title.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Next up is, rebels always find themselves in difficult situations. If you were a freedom fighter in a galaxy far, far away, would you rather be A, dropped into a trash compactor in hopes someone gets you out before turning into a pancake, B, be Jabba's personal slave with a chance you're not freed, or C, be physically and mentally tortured by the Empire, even though they don't ask you any questions? Question mark. John, which scenario are you picking?
I'll be Jabba's slave. I'd be completely fine with that. I have no, I've thought about this, and it probably isn't that bad. You know, you get used to like the bad stuff, and then you're like, I'm being fed. You know, I live here. There's entertainment once in a while.
We've talked about it before. The smell in that room.
You get over that. You get used to that.
John, and I'm think you wouldn't last long.
And I think there's outside time too. They let you go outside once in a while to stay in shape. No, stay in shape. So I look good in the bikini. You know what I mean? So I think being Jabba's slave is the correct answer. I don't like the one in a million chance that Luke, Han, and Leia got out of that trash compactor just because he picked up the comm and R2 got him out. I bet most times if people fall on those things, game over. It's over. You're done. Captain Phasma be damned. But and then the torturing, the physical and mental torture, I don't know if I recover from that. So I think being a slave I can handle better than being like burned and like having my mind melted, sort of like how Dr. Pershing was, you know, like who knows what
well,
the Empire
is. That's what I was
do.
Considering is I know yeah. you were probably referencing Han Solo where he's like, they didn't even ask me any questions. Yeah. I knew exactly.
But they do all sorts of torture.
But the Pershing one is what stuck out to me, where they basically turned him, put him into a microwave. Yeah. That is quite a choice. So that's definitely out. I did battle between going to trash compactor and then also being Hutt's slave. I feel like I could get out of the Hutt situation. Like if we're talking about like ways to get out, I feel like there's more times to get out of that than there are to get out of a trash compactor, because they almost got killed. R2 saved them at the last minute.
Right.
So if you don't have an R2, you're in trouble. And I don't see myself having an R2 in this scenario. So it's like, okay, what's my best outcome? It's probably Jabba the Hutt's place, because maybe you could argue your way into like better positions over time. Like you could start off being a slave, but maybe like you become his right hand guy, and then like all of a sudden you're in a better position saying a Watawanga and not wearing
right.
a pink.
Right. Yeah. Somebody in the comments wrote, John in a Leia bikini with a bag of 12 tacos is peak TRB.
Oh my god. Oh geez. Yeah. Oh, Darth Sniffs made a good point. The Bix torture is exactly what I was thinking. No, thank you. That scene
yeah.
is one of the most traumatic. That. I didn't make it through that scene. I remember.
I think Pershing's worse though, because she's okay. Like,
is she okay?
Yeah, but he's a vegetable.
Yeah, but I don't think he was suffering the way she was. She was suffering from children dying.
Right.
He was suffering just from like radio waves that after a while he just goes into bleh mode.
But permanently, right? He's done. He's like, his brain is jello.
Yeah, but what damage has it caused to her?
Yeah, but I mean, she has a shot. His life's over. He's done. He's dead. Brain dead.
Frank saying that I could be the Rancor caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, I don't think Jabba's going to let me go down and be Rancor. From what his track record with ladies, I don't think I'm going anywhere.
Lacey and Danny Trejo.
We're just high-fiving Yeah. Danny, come on the show. All right. What's the next scenario? Next scenario. Next question is, too many tabs open. If you could play one creature or alien species in Star Wars, it can be sentient or non-sentient. Which would you pick, John?
You go first.
No, you go first.
Why am I always going first?
Because I'm being nice. Oh, it's so sweet.
Or you haven't thought of one yet, so you're trying to think about
that. No, I have.
I'm not gonna try to get too clever on this one. I think being a Wookiee would be pretty awesome. People like you. People want to give you hugs. You live for a long time, and you don't have to be a warrior. Like Chewie, sometimes like looks like he's just kind of chilling, and it just seems like he's having a good life. So, and he's in the war. There's probably some Wookiees that are just hanging out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would be a Wookiee who was just like, I got independently wealthy somehow, and then I'm just hanging out in a cantina, just like, oh, like Norm, like sort of like everyone like so happy to see me. I'm there. I got my own stool at the bar, but I'm a Wookiee, and I'm just like one of the guys. I think that'd be it. I think I would be a Wookiee.
The fact that you were like, you know, independently wealthy, I have a 401k, just like chilling, you know.
I don't want to work. No, yeah.
Yep. I was kind of stuck between two, to be honest. I was stuck between Ewoks and then like whatever Yoda species is, which they're never gonna name. Because with Yoda species, you get to probably have the Force, seeing as the only ones we've seen have the Force. Mm-hmm. And you get to be adorable, which I am. So I wouldn't want to do that. But at the same time, I thought it would be really cool to be an Ewok. Because you live in the trees, you live in the forest, you party a lot. And if you're not doing that, you're doing battles.
Right.
You're battling people.
They do
party. So I thought that, like, that's another example, like something really adorable that don't mess with them, though. Which I feel like encompasses who I am as a person.
That works. That plays, I think. Yeah.
That is my choice.
Would you want to be a part of a tribe, or would you want to be like a sort of a rogue Ewok?
I'm a lone Ewok walking the forest. Like, what kind of question is that? Of course I would want to be with the other Ewoks. Who would want to be a lone Ewok?
No, remember that hacker Ewok from that?
God, the hacker. The DJ Older book.
Yes, right? Something shot. Last shot. Yeah, he was an Ewok like hacker, and he was like this. He's his own marched to the beat of his own drum.
I'm gonna be honest. I feel like sometimes those books, they're just like, look, I need four characters. Give me some characters. This person's gonna be a hacker.
Gungan.
Can it be an Ewok? And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. Yeah. This has been fun, but let's get into the news. What do you think, John?
All right, let's get into the Resistance Report right now.
It's the Resistance.
The penultimate episode of The Bad Batch has arrived. It's called Flash.
Everyone keeps saying that. Everyone used that word today.
People love saying penultimate. You know why? Because it makes them sound smart. That's why.
Oh, I'm just not smart. So
instead of saying the second to last, they say the penultimate. But anyway, season 3, episode 14. So one to go for the Bad Batch. Flash Strike has come and gone. And as far as our thoughts on it, I remember watching it and noticing, like, I don't know if they're necessarily Easter eggs, but shot references, like when the ship was getting pulled into that hangar, it was sort of from the side. And it, to me, it just seemed so deliberately similar to when the Falcon was getting pulled into the Death Star. So I was getting, and then once it took you into the bay, it like shots from above. It was very similar, and I wonder if they borrowed that a little bit from A New Hope. But then there's also
I feel like they've gotten to a point now that they just try to make Easter eggs for people,
which are great because they're not like necessarily slap you in the face Easter eggs. But if you like, if it triggers something in your mind of a memory, you're like, yeah, okay, and I like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of prequel imagery with the fights through the jungle, and that reminded me a lot of Utapau and Obi-Wan for some reason on the top of that lizard he was chasing Grievous on. And we'll talk about Grievous later too. But then also like some Rogue One vibes with some of the music and some of the darkness. So it's like they're covering all these eras to wrap up the Bad Batch. But then the Zillow Beast appears and Omega uncovers that. But I think what this episode did for me, and James is still finishing up the Bad Batch stuff, so he's doing full reviews for this episode and the finale on the YouTube channel exclusively. But for me, I don't know that this episode necessarily moved the story forward as much as it did what it needed to do for some of the relationships of the characters, specifically Echo and Emery at the end there, and him saying like, you know, you're a clone too, how could you do this? And she's saying like, well, I want to help, let me help you. And I think Lacey
chip in her brain.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I think with one episode to go, I don't think there's any more room for like another twist or betrayal. So I do think she's genuinely going to help him and help, you know, Bad Batch. And yeah,
I don't know if she is.
I think she is. That's a lot for them to do in the final episode, for them to, you know, take care of story arcs of these ancillary characters. If they're going to use the final episode to like do a betrayal, and then they really need to tie this stuff up if this is the last episode. So I think everything we're seeing is going to be played out in that linear way. So she's going to help him. Omega's going to help the kids get out. And you see her saying like, I trust you guys to do what you need to do when the time comes. So she's like being this little leader now, which I like. And then the Bad Batch, you know, doing their things together, and you see Crosshair just earning more and more trust from Hunter. So overall, I think this was more of a character episode than moving the story forward. And seeing the Zillow Beast was pretty cool. I didn't know that was what it was at the very beginning when I first saw it. But overall, fun. I'm just really curious to see how they're going to end it. That's what it all comes down to. Who's making it out? How they putting a bow on this story? And will it show any inklings of what's to come? But overall, well done with the music, how it's shot. These Star Wars animated shows are getting better and better in terms of how they're presented. And, you know, Dave Filoni took that from Lucas, and they've even, I think, gone further with it, which is very curious to see what they're going to do next after Bad Batch. So, but what are your thoughts? I know you know you haven't watched all the Bad Batch and all that stuff, but I know you are catching up to close it out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how continually with the animation side of things, they try to fill in the blanks of the movies very well. And this one obviously going into the whole Palpatine angle that we see in the sequel trilogy, which I appreciate because I was definitely whiplashed with that when it came out with the Rise of Skywalker. You're like, how did this happen? Because they don't really explain it. I think the big question everybody, including myself, have is like, you know, who is going to die in this next episode? Who's going to continue on? Is Rex going to show up? I know a lot of people have been asking that question. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to feel bad for all the people that love the Bad Batch to see either they all die, one dies, two die. What's going to happen?
Yeah, my hope is that they all make it out because Tech has already died. I don't think he's coming back unless they go full happy ending and all of a sudden
have him show up
somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be great.
I would. I don't know if I would like it because then it's cheapening, you know, the death moment. And I feel like Star Wars is maybe resurrecting too many people. But
you're
anyway,
really gone, John.
I know. And that's the quote they use. But overall, I think it all comes down to how they end it. How do they land this plane, depending on which will decide the legacy of this show. But cheers to everyone involved in making it. One to go, and then we see. Yeah, who knows what the future of Star Wars animation is, because as Filoni distances himself more, is this the team that's going to take it over? Is there going to be a new Filoni? It'll be interesting to see what the future of Star Wars animation. But
I think it's Tales of the Empire, right? Which is coming out next weekend.
Tales of the Empire, which Filoni's still involved with that stuff. And you know what's funny? I didn't know that this was the thing. I thought at first it was just something called Tales of the Jedi, and then they're like, oh, let's do another. But I saw somewhere, and it might even have been Wikipedia, so, you know, take it for what it is, but it's called Star Wars Tales, and now it's this anthology thing. It's going to be Tales of This, Tales of This, Tales of This. So it may even branch out way beyond this. Maybe Tales of Pod Racers, Tales of Smugglers, Tales of
Creatures.
So, and the first batch was really good. So let's, now that we've talked about it, let's skip over the, we'll do the Acolyte story next. Let's talk about the Tales of the Empire clip.
Mm-hmm.
Now that features Morgan Elsbeth, and the return of General Grievous in a nice little battle sequence. And I assume it's Matthew Wood still doing all the Grievous stuff. It sounds just like it did 20 years ago. What'd you think of this little clip from Tales of the Empire with Morgan Elsbeth and General Grievous back in action?
The animation looks incredible. This show looks so good. And I know all the animation looks good, but like, I don't know, this one just, the movements of Grievous are just so, so cool. Morgan Elsbeth's getting all the time for Star Wars. It's like her moment right now. Ahsoka's out, Elsbeth's in. That's really cool. I think they do a good job in working in this lightsaber battle, weapon battle, but we'll see where the whole story goes.
And they have, I know for the voice, Diana Lee Inosanto is still doing Morgan Elsbeth. So very good for her. But yeah, like, talk about taking these characters that are being introduced in the post-Galactic Civil War era. Like Fennec Shand, Morgan Elsbeth, others, and then retroactively fitting them into these other stories. Obviously, if she's around battling General Grievous, we're talking Revenge of the Sith time.
Right.
So, and then, you know, we saw in the Bad Batch, we have Fennec Shand, and it's very cool how it's like, yeah, you're just meeting them as the audience for the first time here, but check out how they also fit in. And of course it wasn't the plan, but it's cool to say like, well, we needed a bounty hunter in this story. Why not use Fennec Shand? You know, we needed the witches for this. Let's bring Morgan Elsbeth in here. So pretty cool. And people were, for whatever reason, doubting that was her in that clip. But I believe Diana herself quote tweeted it and saying like, can you believe I said this line and stuff? So it's definitely her character with some like facial dressings on. Doesn't mean they have to be permanent or anything. So I agree, Lacey. It looks good. I like the color palette that they're using. It's dark,
the
but logo there's like a lot of greens.
The logo is still the coolest part for me. The reveal at the end where it like burns.
Yes. I like that too. Yeah. And I assume that's Matthew Wood doing the Grievous stuff, which is always great. So very cool there, and that comes out May the 4th, and it should be all six of them, so that'll be a nice fun thing to breeze nice through and chat
binge.
About yeah, for sure, in addition to whatever else comes out in May the 4th, which could be, you know, we talked about the Acolyte, Lacey, and that brings us to our next story. So Amanda Stenberg, the lead of the show, who's in my opinion flying under the radar, because you got Daphne Keene, who's been interviewed a lot. Obviously, Leslie Headland, the showrunner, interviewed a lot. And people are focusing a lot on the array of characters. But we were told from the beginning that this character, May, played by Amanda Stenberg, is going to be the lead here. And it is a very mysterious character. But she had some things to say. Did you have a chance to check out what she had to say about the Acolyte?
I do. I have the quote. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah. Go for it.
So the quote is, "We are the prequel to the prequels," Stenberg said. "And the prequels have this kind of prestige to them, this monarchical vibe. So one of my main questions going in was, are we going to maintain that sensibility? And yes, in many ways we do, while also incorporating elements that feel really contemporary and relatable. When I watched the finished episodes, I was really struck by how universal the story was."
What do you make of that?
Well, I kicked off the last one. You go.
Well, I'll say this. I like that they're paying attention to sort of the evolution of whether it's government or even fashion and how etiquette is over these periods of time. And the prequels did feel very medieval in this weird sense with, you know, like the m'lady and the formal dressings and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Lucas loved doing that sort of stuff, which was cool. At the time, I remember thinking it was weird, mm-hmm. but now I kind of like it. And it's just, that's what happens. But I don't know what she means. I get what she means saying we're the prequel to the prequels, obviously, for the timeline's sake. But saying that, you know, the prequels had this prestige to them, which I, you know, they did, and Lucas definitely wanted the prequels to feel more shiny and established and less post-war like the original trilogy. But when she says contemporary, I wonder what she means. I just, the only thing that concerns me a little bit is I hope there's not like too many 2024 like colloquialisms, you know what I'm talking about, like phrasings, yeah, and things that, yeah, may sap me out of the story,
like if they say vibes.
Yeah, and I forget where it was. I don't know if it was Star Wars, but it was something else that isn't taking place now, and there was a phrase thrown in. I'm like, there's no way that person would have said that in the 1960s or something, and it threw me off. And I'm just saying, like, if I don't know what she means exactly by this, because it is a very general statement, and I feel like they are being guarded with this show, so I understand that. So there's not a lot to take away from this, which always makes my brain think of what makes me nervous about it.
I think sure contemporary fine, to but... mean means relationships.
Do you think so? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like queer Jedi. I think that's what she means by that. That's how I took it anyway, because in the story of Star Wars, it, first of all, Jedi aren't allowed to have relationships like that. Second of all, like, Anakin was with Padme. There wasn't that much representation in those movies. Mm-hmm. So I could see her meaning that from contemporary and relatable.
And this, I mean, this comes from, who was this? This was Games Radar, but via Total Film. And they also have, they released an exclusive image from the series.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at that. So for people watching on YouTube and for our audio listeners, we have two members of the cast. We have Lee Jung Jae as Sol, who's the Jedi Master. Mm-hmm, and then we have Charlie Barnett, who Leslie Headland brought in from his work with her on Russian Doll. And he's playing Yord Fander. So Yord Fander is a by-the-book Jedi and a guardian of the temple. But it was teased that he actually may not be as talented as some of the Padawans, like Daphne Keen's character, Jeki Lon. And then you have Jedi Master Sol, who's like, I guess, the elder statesman of this cast, as far as the Jedi goes. And remember, Lacey, Daphne Keen saying she spent a lot of time doing lightsaber work with both of these guys?
Yeah.
So I think there is going to be a dichotomy between the three of them. And I alluded to maybe some of the, you know, the humor, but a lot of these images, they, like, these Jedi look nervous, and there's always like, and I don't know if they're deliberately showing us these particular frames.
They definitely do. They always look
uneasy, and I find that interesting, because this is supposed to be still sort of like the high time of the Jedi. Everything's, you know, quote unquote peaceful, but like, this is the era of the Jedi, and in every shot they're showing us, I don't sense that calm, resolute Jedi-ness. Like, I see concern.
The only person that has it is, yeah, the only person that has it is Carrie Ann Moss. Her character generally looks pretty,
that's true,
stern.
She does look like she's okay with whatever's happening at that time. So it's going to be interesting to see what this show does. I'm very just in wonderment of what we're going to get, because it's, you can't even speculate on this show at this point, because they haven't given us enough to speculate from, and it's not necessarily tied to anything beyond the end of the High Republic. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard to say what happens here. I like that, but I feel like I just need a little bit more to just ease my appetite with about, what, 6 weeks to go? So
that's why I think we're getting a trailer next week, John.
Yeah. You think we're definitely going to
trailer? That's a month out.
Because so,
and it's Star Wars Day.
Yeah, but May the 4th, they're going to give us the special look with the Phantom Menace. Don't you think they're just going to show people online the same thing, or no?
I think we're getting a trailer.
All right.
Or they're going to show it at Comic-Con to the room, to the people there, and then release it on Monday on Good Morning America or something.
Oh, that could work. Yeah. Interesting. I hope we do. I mean, I'm all about seeing more of what they bring to the table here. But any other thoughts on Acolyte? Does any of what she, like, it was a quick quote from her, but anything on this image, anything else that you've thought about with this show as we come to almost a month away from its premiere?
Yeah, I think the image is pretty straightforward. Like you said, I totally agree. I think the people look very nervous in every picture, except for the one where they're all standing there with their lightsabers in the forest that we saw at some point. But even then, when you get the other angle of them, they all look nervous. So it is weird that this is supposed to be the heyday of the Jedi and everything is everybody kind of scared. But from my understanding, the story is supposed to be like something's going on that nobody wants to explain. So that might be why there's like this nervous overall environment that they're all in. I think the only, honestly, the most interesting character to me every time I hear about it and or see it is still Kel Naka.
Really? That's cool. Jedi.
I just think he's so cool. I just think he's so awesome. And the fact that it's Yonis, I can't wait for the press tour where Yonis is going to be on it, like being in Star Wars again. Like,
yes, I agree.
Living the dream. Living the dream.
And seeing him just beat people up with a lightsaber?
Yeah. Like, it's going to be so cool. Like
yeah.
Her quote was pretty straightforward. I mean, they've been saying this a lot, is that it's the prequel to the prequels. It's the way they're explaining it to non-Star Wars fans. Like, oh, this comes before Anakin Skywalker and all that stuff you do know. Kind of telling people on the timeline where it is while also separating it from the things that people do know. Yeah. I'm interested to see what you, like you said, John, about what she means by contemporary. The only other thing I can think of is that there are maybe kind of reflections into current events now in our country and across the world that are reflected in the show, just like we're similarly seeing in Andor as well. It's just a question of how current are they going to go with it? Like you said, are they going to keep it more of a fantasy story, or are they going to try to bring some ground it in some realism of what we're going through right now?
There's going to be, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be at least several op-ed pieces on blogs or trades or whatever, Collider, whatever, that are going to say, like, the Acolyte is the perfect blend between fantasy Star Wars and Andor. It's going to say, like, because it has the darkness, it has the real sets that they filmed on, like Andor, but it also is heavily rooted in the Force, of course. So it has the whimsy and all the fantastical elements of the galaxy far, far away with that dark, you know, realism or grittiness of Andor probably blended together. I think this has the chance to sneak away as a lot of people's favorite Star Wars shows for two reasons. One, that because it is the blend of what everybody seems to like. It's like borrow from this, borrow from that.
Right.
But then two, I still feel like this show is flying under the radar in general. We are 6 weeks away from brand new live action Star Wars, and it doesn't feel like it. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing at this point. I don't know what their expectations are for viewership on Disney Plus right now. They're clearly shifting things that were planned for it to theaters like Lando, Mandalorian. They haven't announced new shows beyond
a
second season of things, Andor, of course, and Ahsoka too. We haven't heard about a new show. So I think Acolyte is in a great spot right now to come out, low expectation. It's not tied to Luke or anything like that where people can get all upset about it and hit us with something that can enrich how we see maybe the dark side of the Force and the Sith, but also it's not living up like the Obi-Wan thing. I kept saying, like, that show's got to be a hit. They've been talking about it for years. Is he coming back? Is he not?
Yeah.
And I don't think it lived up to that hype. And
it didn't.
Are we at fault for the hype? Partially, but not really, because it's freaking Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it's Ewan McGregor. Like, they needed to crush that, and they cut some corners in that show. As much as I love it, and as much as I love Star Wars, they did. and it's okay. I still enjoy it.
You mean keeping them in a cave for, you know, episode after episode? Not aging
for no reason beyond not wanting to do it.
Like using extras that are known creators in the Star Wars space everybody was like, okay.
The original writer is coming out and saying, like, originally I had Reva dying, and he's like, they had me change it in the last minute. So all of a sudden her story just ended very oddly, where she just...
It was very weird.
I give up now and I walk away. It was all very strange. But needless to say, the Acolyte doesn't have to be that, because it's this new thing with all new characters, besides maybe Yoda, who's not going to show up in the trailer. He'll show up in the show. I'm probably going to be delivering a pizza. God.
Can't wait. I'm going to eat it in front of you.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine.
I'm going to open it up. There's going to be like six pieces missing from the pizza. Yeah.
But I think it's going to be good. I'm excited for it. And I like that it's sort of, not dealing with the hype machine necessarily, or the expectations machine. And I think it's going to deliver because of that. But we have one more story before we get to your questions. And that is for Andor, not season two. But we have the clip courtesy of Empire that is going to be, I believe, exclusive to, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it's going to be on Disney Plus, exclusive to the physical release of the 4K Steelbook, which you may not be able to find in Target anymore, if those rumors are true. But,
correct. 2025, they're not having physical release.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But anyway, physical release Andor 4K Steelbook. They're doing some behind the scenes stuff, and this is one of the clips.
I remember I was asked if I wanted to rehearse with them. And I said, no, not really.
Mind Baker, take one, see camera.
And I think it paid. They had been rehearsing for quite a while, and they had dynamics that I didn't understand. This team was already being funny and making jokes. And they had like a challenge where you couldn't say a word, and if you said the word, you had to do 10 push-ups. And they were like a team, you know, like a theater troupe. I was an outsider to that.
Stand by and action.
We're not prepped for this. We don't even have enough comms as it is.
We have two spares.
That was our backup.
Clem is our backup.
We were finding out who we were and how we were going to relate.
We have an extra uniform. Going to need to leave us a belt and gloves.
Clem.
Cut. There was a parallel, you know, version of what was written happening on set.
So who are we supposed to be?
Nature lovers, mystics, dead enders.
There you go. So yeah, 4K of Andor coming out. We're happy to sample those. If you want to send us some early, we would love to check them out. I saw some people were sent them, and I was jealous. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, hey, how did he get one? Let me get one. But anyway,
I totally forgot that his name was Clem.
Clem, yeah.
I forgot that Clem.
And which I knew that guy was going to be a dirtbag, and he was. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably going to buy these because I have all the Star Wars movies.
I have the Mando ones.
Oh, you do? Yeah, I got to get those. I want to get Obi-Wan, and I got to get Andor, of course, just to have everything. Because I'm crazy. And I love Star Wars. But what did you think of this clip? What were your takeaways from the very delightful Diego Luna?
There were some comments in the chat about how he never ages, and I completely agree. He looks amazing. I love behind-the-scenes stuff. I will watch it more than the movie over and over and over again because I love to see the process that these films and TV shows go through to make these things happen. I love the creative process and what I could learn from it. One of the best experiences with this podcast has been when we watched the Skywalker Legacy one. What was it called? The Skywalker Legacy? Is that what it was called again?
For episode 9, yeah.
Yeah. When we watched that in its entirety, and then we got to talk to Eunice Huthart about it, the stunt coordinator for The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, like, love her.
That to me was one of the pinnacle moments for me on this podcast because I got to watch this behind the scenes thing and then talk about someone about their experiences of being in those scenarios. And this is exactly the same. I would love to talk to any of these people about this process. And it's so interesting to hear Diego Luna talk about, they were like, oh, do you want to rehearse with these people? And he's like, no, I want the genuine experience of them not knowing me, of me coming into their little group and them, you know, feeding off that energy. And it was really interesting to listen to because I didn't take him for someone that would do things like that.
Right.
Because he's just such a friendly guy. Like, I wouldn't take him as someone being like, no, I'm taking this like really serious. But I think that did help with the scenes because there is this awkwardness that you feel while watching it that you're like, yeah, they don't like him. And it's not that they don't like him in real life, but yeah, it's just crazy. And then the environments are so lush in this show. Like, just them standing in this like big, I think it was Scotland, right? These big areas of just greenery and forest and big hills and mountains. And it's just so beautiful. Yeah. The volume just can't compare with that. Can't compete.
It can't. And we've talked about the volume a lot. Like, I think it's a great tool, but it shouldn't be the answer for like the most, the bigger parts of it. But
we'll definitely be talking about that in a commentary. I think we should do that. We should watch all the scenes together in a commentary for Patreon.
Yeah, I agree. And I like that approach too, because it really does naturally capture the distance between him and them. And I think that only helped, you know, serve the story, as they say. So I have no problems when they do that stuff. I'm sure once they wrapped, there was a wrap party and everyone had a good time. It wasn't just all that way, but going into it to have them feeling like their own theater group, as he put it, and then him being this outsider, was, as he put, a parallel. And I think Andor specifically, their aim is this sort of, you know, artistic approach to Star Wars and the craft and all that stuff. And that just fits right in with all that, the method acting, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, making life imitating art or vice versa. So it's a cool clip. I eat up the behind the scenes stuff too. You know that whenever anyone asks, to the disappointment of people like Christian Morales, what's your favorite Star Wars book? I always say, you know, The Making of The Empire Strikes Back by J.W. Rinsler. The reference books are my Star Wars books. And people love the canon stuff. I don't as much, but I love this stuff. And behind the scenes documentaries are great too. So
Des Smith in the chat is saying he's planning to hike up the Eldani Imperial Stronghold. It's about 90 minutes drive from me. That's awesome.
Yeah. Are you going to see the Eye? What was it called? The Eye of Eldani? Was that?
Yeah. Eye of Eldani. Yep. Yeah.
Check that out. Even though. All right. Good luck if you're actually doing that. Is that safe? I don't know if that's safe. Be safe.
I think so. I think it's just a dam. I think it's just a water dam.
Well, damn. All right.
Yeah.
So that's it for Resistance Report. So, Lacey, why don't we get to our final segment of the day called Ask the Resistance?
I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
All right, Gillian, you, me. What do you want to do here?
You go. But do you want to start with the Super Chats?
Let's do the Super Chats.
Okay, first up we have David Ford. What up, man? Thanks for Super Chat. He said, watching Spider-Man 2 at AMC 20 after seeing Civil War for the fourth time at the AMC 12. Kirsten Dunst double feature part 2.
Ugh.
David Ford, you are in for it. John goes on quite the Kirsten Dunst rant on Patreon, so buckle up. But that's awesome. I love Spider-Man.
Behind the safe walls of Patreon.
Tobey Maguire is my favorite Spider-Man.
Ooh.
He is my favorite.
I don't know if I have a favorite Spider-Man. I'm not a big Spider-Man fan.
Spider-Man's my favorite superhero. I love Spider-Man. I had such a crush on Tobey Maguire when that movie came out. He was like the love of my life.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. But thank you, David. And of course, it wouldn't be a show without Freezy2324. Thank you. What up, man? He said, sup, TRB. If you could watch a Star Wars movie again for the first time, which would it be? For me, it would be The Empire followed by Return of the Jedi. John, I'm going to kick it to you. I was going to say,
Watch a Star Wars movie again for the first time, which would it be? Well, That would mean that I've seen the others. So I think Solo. I watched Solo again for the first time.
Oh, Solo would be a blast to watch again.
Yeah. And then just don't tell me that there was ever a plan for a sequel. Like, I don't want to know anything that happened with Solo. So just say, hey, John, they made a young Solo movie and they're only doing one. And I'll be like, oh, great. And then I'll watch it and not be sad.
I think the entire fandom, if we all got Men in Blacked and they erased our minds to all the production stuff and all the drama that surrounds Solo and everybody rewatched it, it would do very differently in the movie today.
I agree.
I'm going to go Solo too. I think that movie was a blast. That one, honestly, and Force Awakens too. I love The Force Awakens.
I didn't watch it that long ago again. And just the romance and everything between Han and Kira, like, just, I'll never forget Clayton. I mean, I was talking to Clayton when it like didn't do that well. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they made a big mistake. They should have marketed the romance between Han and Kira. And they were afraid, they were hiding Alden too much. They were afraid of Alden. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. They did. They didn't go confidently into that on the limited marketing budget they had. But we'll have more time to talk about Solo. We're going to do another Solo commentary or watch along or something. So we'll talk all about Solo again. But I think it'd be Solo. What about you, Freezy? I want to know. And by the way, see his profile picture?
He went to
the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, that temple in Jordan that they used for the end of the movie.
What?
Very cool. I think Danny's gone there too, if I remember.
Unless I made that up. Freezy has a different picture every show, and I love it. It always just updates.
Freezy's doing it. He's not Freezy. He is he's on the move always, it mm-hmm, looks like. So mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it. We have one more super chat.
Yep. Our next super chat is from David Probus, aka Proby1 Kenobi. What up, man? And his super chat, thank you, is for awesome TIE fighter screams through valleys in Andor and TRB being awesome. Thank you. That was epic.
I remember seeing that and saying on this show, that was the first time I ever felt scared of TIE fighters.
Mm-hmm.
It was just horrifying. It felt real. It felt like on Earth, like it felt scary. It did. It was such a good job. TIE fighters,
it was
Andor.
Very scary. Again, the environments, you can't beat the environments. They're just so epic. But the sound and design in Andor is very well done.
Yeah. I can hear my daughter screaming upstairs. She sounds like a TIE fighter. But the sound of the TIE fighter echoing through the mountains you're right. They absolutely did crush the sound design for that show. Thank you, David. All right, so let's get to a few questions and then we'll get out of here. But first up is Christian Morales. What point in the timeline would you like to see the next main animated show be set in? What do you think, Lacey? I think we've touched on this in the past.
We definitely have. I would love a show during like Luke, Han, Leia, right after Return of the Jedi.
Oh, after Return of the Jedi. I'm with
like
you,
them,
but I would
three of them
in
together
between.
To see. Oh, in between.
That's because,
but then with Han's in Carbonite.
So how about I know they've done comics, but how about in between A New Hope and Empire, which is like 3 years?
That could work. That could work.
I think they go to Crait even. There's a lot of things they could do there. And you're right. You get Han not frozen, so we got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing with post Return of the Jedi, you know, you get the Ben Solo being born and stuff, but what's the conflict? Like, do they run into
look at the Mandalorian. They're still dealing with the fallout of the Empire. That's just because Empire is done doesn't mean they're actually done.
Yeah, Luke sort of goes off with Lando and goes artifact hunting, and Han and Leia do their thing and they get estranged. I would love to see a Luke, Han, and Leia animated series, and I'm surprised they haven't done it, considering we got so many years of Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme prequel stuff with mm-hmm. the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it seem like it's a matter of when, not if, with that? Like, eventually they're going to be like...
Yeah, it's definitely a when, because there are three characters that everybody just constantly wants more content about, that the easiest way to do it would be an animated film, because obviously we can't have a show with Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill in it.
Yeah, and then, you know, beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing if that like Mangold movie comes out and it's this like start of all of this thing, if they do animated stuff in that type of era, which I would imagine might have a more of like a medieval feel, that could be fun. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff. I'm more interested in who's going to be running Star Wars animation now that Filoni is like really pretty much detached from it.
They haven't been very transparent about that transition of Dave Filoni.
They might still be working on it. Yeah, they may have shows already almost done because these things take years to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next year at Celebration we get the announcement on what the future of animation is. Like series animation. Like I consider Tales of the Jedi and Tales of the Empire like more of like shorts and anthology stuff. I mean like Bad Batch, Rebels, Clone Wars.
Not
like
Visions, what's the next?
Yeah, like what's the next canon series that multiple seasons? Yeah, like full show.
Right.
We'll see. But thank you, Christian. Next up, the birthday girl, Darth Snips. Happy birthday. And she asked, do you think we will see how Morgan Elsbeth connects with Baylan in Tales of the Empire?
Oh. Ooh.
What do you think, Lacey?
I think they will, because it's going to be a perfect way to lead into Ahsoka. Like, because they're trying to make all these connections, right? They're trying to connect all these shows so that you want to just move into the next thing. You watch Ahsoka and you're like, I need more about that character. I'm going to go watch this. And then you're like, oh, wait, she's also in The Mandalorian. I got to go watch this. They're doing a really nice way of kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for with the thread? Sewing the thread.
Weaving.
Weaving, maybe
interconnecting,
holding hands, content, giving a hug.
Oh. Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, I forgot to. John's bringing this up again. I forgot to put my wedding ring on because I was holding my hands. I'm not a bad person. Everything's fine. Ladies in the chat, F in the chat if you take off your ring to put lotion on.
F in the chat.
Yeah. That's just a joke. Internet joke. F in the chat.
May the F be with you.
But yeah, I think we will. What about you, John?
I never even thought of this. That so now since you've said it, it's like such an interesting idea. I would love to see it. I don't know, based on when this probably was completed from a recording standpoint. I imagine Ray Stevenson may have been had passed at that point. I don't know how they handle that.
Voice actor, though, probably.
Yeah, so I don't know how soon after. That's a touchy thing. I'm gonna lean no, but I hope they do. Because I love Baylan Skoll. I'm so like upset. Obviously, the Ray Stevenson's gone because I liked him in a bunch of other stuff he's done. And he seemed like such a nice guy. He loved being Gar Saxon. He loved being in Star Wars, and I always loved that. But I love Baylan Skoll, and I hope that's not it for him. And I know with Ahsoka Season 2, he's got to be involved. But animation sounds like it might be the future for Baylan Skoll.
I think they're going to recast him.
I think he'll be recast for Ahsoka, but for stuff before Ahsoka, they may just do Ahsoka? Animated stuff.
Did you almost say the stuff Ahsoka?
Before Ahsoka. It's like, yeah, be Ahsoka. BBY. Yeah, maybe animated the way to go with him for stuff before season one of Ahsoka, but I don't know. It's still just such a bummer because he was so damn good. We finally got that like that fresh villain that had hints of stuff we loved from Vader and Palpatine, but he was his own sort of thing. It's so upsetting as a Star Wars fan, but of course, more importantly, as just a Ray Stevenson fan. And yeah. But
his
anyway,
fighting was crazy. Like, remember the power he had behind his fights?
And just the delivery of his lines. It's just so like the Shakespearean presence. And good. Oh, God. Crush. I may rewatch Ahsoka just for him, honestly. But great idea, Snips. We'll see. We'll see if he pops up in there. I'm gonna go right to you and be like, thank you for making me think about that, because what a cool, fun thing that will be to see. But I don't know.
Yep.
All right, Lacey, we got one more, right?
We do.
John Mitchell chiming in. Thank you, John. John said, do you think 2026 will be an historic year to be a Star Wars fan, since we are getting two movies and possibly Ahsoka season two? Look, if we get two Star Wars movies in one year, that is historic in itself, regardless of anything else. So, Lacey, historic year for Star Wars regardless, or do you think we got to have those two movies be big hits? Like, what do you... We have Celebration next year, but 2026 really is where people's eyes are for the next big Star Wars year. What are you looking at as far as the prospect of 2026 in the legacy of Star Wars?
I think if they do the two movies, that's going to be crazy, especially because it's probably going to be May, December, which is bananas. Mm-hmm. I think if Ahsoka happens that year, or any other show that happens that year, that's going to be an overload of Star Wars content, and we're going to be very tired. Tired but happy, let's be honest. As for the Celebration stuff, I'm not really sure they're going to do a Celebration in 2026, because they're doing one next year, 2025. And they've said that they're trying, I've heard rumblings that they're trying to do the every other year thing, which would make like D23 on the off year, Star Wars Celebration on the on year. But I have a feeling, which is the 2027. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they might skip 2026, honestly, and give everything to D23. And not do Celebration that year, and then hold it until 2027.
Wow. Yeah. Which is supposed to have another Star Wars movie anyway.
Right.
That December. So.
So it would be like a recap of what happened the year before, plus what's coming. Yeah, it's going to be bananas. It's going to be nuts.
I wonder if that third movie is going to be that Filoni movie. And then you start wondering about Mangold, Taika, Sean Levy. Because I think... We haven't really talked about this. We'll talk about it on Nerdy and Nice, but I think I'd be shocked if Deadpool doesn't crush.
Deadpool's going to kill it. As soon as those tickets go on sale, good luck. Like, John, we're going to have to go, obviously, but good luck getting tickets to that on opening night. It's going to be nuts.
Because I think this is like, I don't think this is a, hey, I'm back as Wolverine, and now we're going to start doing more movies. I think it was a one and done. I'm coming back.
I think Ryan argued for it for the one movie. And Hugh was like, sure, I'll come back for it.
And he's like, he's 56 now. So
yeah,
he probably really had to push himself. And I saw some videos of him working out. He's got personal trainers and the diet and the steroids. I get all that. But he's still 56 years old getting in Wolverine shape. Like that's dedication. That's a lot of work. Uh-huh. And I don't know, like he'd be 60. Probably they rolled around again. This is
also,
probably
how
it.
How many movies is Ryan going to do? Like, how many more Deadpool movies? The only thing I can see him doing is doing a crossover at some point with the other Marvel characters or Avengers or something to have Deadpool show up.
Deadpool owns a soccer team.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, John.
Have you seen that? I haven't watched much of that. The Wrexham thing that
I haven't seen like videos of it, but I saw them do a birthday video.
Okay.
Where they like sang online to one of the people that the other guy that owns it. What's his name?
From Always Sunny.
Yes.
Dan McElhenney. Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole song is about his name. They're like, it's McElhenney. McElhenney.
McElhenney. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the joke. Yeah. But John, yeah, I think.
Rob McElhenney. Sorry.
Yeah. John Mitchell. Not this John. John Mitchell. I do think it's going to be a crazy year. But I don't think it's going to be as crazy as 2027, because that's 50 years.
I know.
Of Star Wars.
And it's going to be, you're going to have
May the 4th, 2027, Disneyland is going to be where it's at.
Yeah. And you're going to be off the heels of two movies, the Mando movie, the Rey movie. Hope, both are good. People like them. When Star Wars movies are cooking, it just makes everything more exciting. That's the hope, because I think there is a shift happening like we talked about before, back to movies. I don't think they're done with Disney Plus live action shows, but it's unless they like shock us with announcements soon on May the 4th or something, beyond Andor 2 and Ahsoka 2, there's nothing else announced. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have two more super chats to round out the day. There he is.
Go ahead, John.
Andrew Staley. I think there's a bunch of TRB people in Chicago because I
know I'm so jealous. I love C2E2.
He's there. Sue's there. And Andrew said, hi, TRB. We're here in Chicago for C2E2. Hello from all of us. Hello, Andrew. Who else is there? Who else is in there? Huh? I got
well,
an empty
Diana's
glass
there.
Of water. I have an empty glass of water, Andrew. Drink a beer for me, please, and have a great time.
She said, gold leader standing by in Chi-Town.
Woo-hoo-hoo! There. Oh, hey, spread the word about TRB and Nerdy and Nice for us, guys. But
and get
most
ready, guys. Next week is tickets day. For celebration. Buckle up.
Buckle up, baby. Yeah. Thank you so much, Andrew, man. Have a great time. Tell everybody we said hi, and we'll see you soon. All right. We have one more super chat.
We do?
From I Diana. Oh, that yes. was it. Okay.
That was it.
Thank you.
That she said, gold leader standing by in Chai.
Oh, she didn't have the... I see. She didn't have the comment in the super chat. Thank you, Diana. Appreciate it. Have a great time. Take care of Jeremy. Put him on a leash if you need to. But anyway...
All I'm thinking of is the gif where he's like,
"Unbelievable! I didn't even know that existed. Where'd that come from?
Me, I took a video of him.
Oh, did you? There's a lot of stuff that we hadn't released from Celebrations that
guys. Celebration is a party just with us.
But listen, folks, that takes us to the end of the show. So we want to thank everybody for listening and watching and being a part of TRB. Make sure you do go. Make sure you go and follow, obviously, TRB Podcasts on all your social media apps. And, of course, the Resistance Broadcast on your preferred podcast app and our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@TRB Podcasts. Same channel, just switch the name on the URL. And Nerdy and Nice, Lacey, we are like 10 days away from the first episode of that show. I'm very excited. Anything else you want to say? They got to follow. The pod feed will hit on May 6th. They don't let us publish the feed until there's an episode. So May 6th, that will come out.
Because then people can't lock stuff up. But yeah, you can still follow us on social, though, at Nerdy and Nice Pod. Make sure to follow us there so you get all the updates and info about episodes and how you can get involved in the episodes when we ask questions and stuff. I'm super excited. It's something John and I have been working on diligently for like 2 weeks now, going into week three, nonstop every day chatting, late night work sessions. Like, we're doing our best to make this a really solid, awesome show that's, you know, kind of similar to TRB, but its own special moment, special space, which is very cool. And we just have so many ideas and plans, and it's, John says, this new era of TRB, and it's just the excitement of making everything fresh, you know, bringing new life into things while also paying respect and love to what was. It's just, it's cool. I'm super, super excited.
Yeah. And I see it as it's a new era. It's us expanding because TRB is still here and it's always going to be here.
Of course.
So we have TRB now. We're just adding a cousin that is like, hey, I'm nerdy. I'm nice. Let's do this thing. But also our Patreon. Right now, still patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. That URL may change, but the page stays the same. We are going to be adding content that has to do with the other show on there, as well as new TRB stuff. So stay tuned for updates. Let me just tell you, next week, we're going to debut... We are going to debut the new images for our tiers. And when I tell you, they're awesome.
People aren't ready. I don't think people are.
I don't think they're ready at all. I think this is going to be something people are going to want on stickers and shirts and stuff. Like, it's it's wild stuff. But needless to say, we're very excited about the Patreon too. So if you've been thinking about supporting us and you're like, whoa, so still getting weekly Star Wars, but they're going to talk about other stuff that us nerds like, time to join. Patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. Tier start at $5. Hang on to the roof, folks. We're getting started. with this new era, and we're very excited. So thanks for being with us.
The other thing, quickly, John,
yeah,
that I do want to say is, if you are considering joining and are just kind of like, I don't know yet, I'm trying to feel it out, or you've never, you know, joined a Patreon page before, we also have a free option that you can just follow the page and see, get a feel for what kind of updates we do. Now, there, things are locked if you're not at certain tiers, which is fine, but you do get alerts every time an episode goes up, the public episodes, mm-hmm. which is nice. So you get an email in your inbox that says, hey, we have a new episode out, so you never miss an episode. Because I know sometimes life gets crazy and you're like, oh, I've fallen behind on episodes. We send it right to your inbox. So that's super helpful. And I know this because I follow the page myself to see, make sure things are running properly. And I love getting the updates too. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're excited. There's more updates to come from us because we're still working on stuff. Nothing's laminated yet, but we do know
that. I'm so hyped about those tiers though, that you brought them up. I totally like kind of forgot a little bit about them.
Oh my God.
They're so good.
It's so fun. It's so exciting, and it's gonna really establish what we're aiming for with all this stuff. And just know, you're getting TRB live again next week on your podcast app for this episode tomorrow morning, and of course next week on Friday morning. But then the debut of our new podcast, Nerdy and Nice, on May 6th, and we're just so excited. So thank you for coming along for the ride, whether you're new or been an OG for a long time, like the Mellows out there. Thank you for being a part of TRB. It is, I feel like we're just getting started in this new era, and we're very excited. With that said, a special thank you. Again, James finishing out the Bad Batch stuff. He has one more he's putting out for the finale. So next Wednesday, check out the Bad Batch reaction show as James wraps up his content for us here at TRB. And then a special thank you to our generals and spice runners on Patreon. We've been talking about Patreon. These people are really supporting us in ways that just blow our minds. And thank you to who I mentioned: Carmelo, John Reese, Jetta Rosewater, Frank Grande, Nick Kratz, Chris Morales, Brian Smith, Danny, Mike Ramori, Brendan McLaughlin, Sneaky Zebra, Dave Hornack, and Jolton Jedi DiMaggio. And the Spice Runners, David Probus, Neil Shaw, Kendall Gellner, Andrew Staley, Jeremy Myers, and the Fort Worthian. All of our patrons, all of our listeners, however you support TRB, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. For me, Johnny Hoey on X, and my other movie pod, Just Like the Movies, on your favorite podcast apps. We're doing Man of Steel next. I'm very, very, very excited about that. Lacey, aside from getting ready to buy me a pizza in a few weeks, where can people talk to you, chat you up, talk Stu Leonard's, talk romance movies?
We'll see how that works out. People can find me on social media at Lacey Gillern, on TikTok at It's Lacey Gillern, and on May 6th, you can find me talking pop culture on Nerdy and Nice Pod.
Yes.
Please review the podcast on different audio apps, this one and Nerdy and Nice when it comes out. It helps people find us. It lets us know how we're doing. And it lets, you know, gets the pod out there. We appreciate
it. Yeah. Definitely make sure you subscribe to the new pod, because it will be on its own feed. So TRB will still be on the same feed you're subscribed to, the Resistance Broadcast. And then Nerdy Nice will be on its own feed. So you just have to follow it. Still free. But make sure you do follow it. And like Lacey said,
we just
rate
didn't want to complicate it for people. So before people go,
We found it's better to separate them. So definitely try to lift that one up for us, as you guys lift us up all the time. But that's it for us here. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Things are starting to warm up here where I'm at, so hopefully they are for you too. And we will see you next Thursday on the cusp of May the 4th and the cusp of really the launch of the next era of TRB. So until next time, from us here at the Resistance Broadcast, we will see you around, kids.